All right, guys, pull up a spot. Let's hit First Peter. Hey, man, all I can say is beards are in, and if I could grow one.
Well, like Mike said the other day, it just kind of goes in like a
patchy. Yeah. Yeah, mine doesn't exactly grow. All right, guys, First Peter chapter 1. Let's get rolling here. First Peter 1. And let's actually just wrap this up here. 22 through 25. And we're really keying in verses 23 through 25. But let's start in verse 22. So, Super Dave, why don't we start with you? First Peter 1, begin verse 22.
Since you have an obedience with the truth, purify your... Since you have an obedience to the truth, purify your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart.
Do you want to get the next one?
For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God.
For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off.
But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which was preached to you.
All right, guys, what you got for...
Verse 24, all flesh is like the grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. And as the grass withers, the flower falls off. Basically, if you're not paying attention and staying with your reading and studying, it's going to fall away.
Yeah, there's some things that are winding down. That is for sure, deteriorating rapidly. And he gives an example of the grass. You know, right now the grass is going strong. That's the best my lawn's ever looked this time of year. I haven't had to water it once. Still been raining, and it's going strong. But man, how is it by the end of August? How about the end of October?
Covered in snow.
Yeah, there's nothing left of it. Okay? So... The point is, sometimes things can look like they're doing pretty good here in the temporal, in the moment. But all flesh like grass, this baby's going down. So, it's a good point. Talk more about it, obviously, as we go. Caleb?
Something that we touched on a little bit last week. Verse 22, since you have an obedience to the truth, you know, that always just makes me kind of appreciate everybody.
Definitely. And we're gonna really key in on 23 and following tonight, so I don't want to go back too much 22, but yeah, it's a rare thing. Sometimes we can struggle a little bit with our attitudes towards each other, maybe, but when you stop and you think about obedience to the truth, that is a very, very strong bond. And we should be able to appreciate each other for that, for sure. 23 through 25, what else we got?
Born of a seed, not perishable, but it's interesting that he uses the seed there.
It is, isn't it? What's that make you think of, John? Yeah.
Jesus goes back to that kind of seed and
definitely. Can it takes you back to Genesis, doesn't it? A little bit. I mean.
Yeah, back to that.
And then, yeah. And then everything that the. It is interesting. I want to work on that. It's not really in the notes, but I do want to work on a little bit the idea of a seed. Because
yeah.
Seeds are really. It's amazing how. What's the word I'm looking for? Resilient seeds can be. I mean, sometimes you try to grow stuff and you can't grow it. But isn't it amazing how certain seeds, you know, how they travel, stick onto something on you, hop on the plane with you, come over, get out, drop off somewhere, you know, and grow, sprout up. You know, sometimes the fire comes through, right? Takes out the forest, but man, some of those seeds in there, it pops stuff open, those seeds kind of get planted, and then shoo, no matter what happens, like this imperishable seed, like you ain't going to stop this thing. It cannot be stopped.
Which is the word.
Right? Which is the word, exactly. Super div.
I like the way Rotherham puts up too. Having been regenerated, not out of corruptible seed, but incorruptible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, puts a whole different light on it.
Yeah, we've been regenerated, like born again.
And the seed being corruptible, not incorruptible.
Yeah, that seed can't be, it's not going to rot.
Right.
It's not going to start falling apart. It's not going to get in there and get, you know, cross-breeded with anything else. Incorruptible seed. Yes. The word never fades away. Matthew.
First of all, I have a question. You know, I was thinking, you know, when we get to heaven, will there really be a need for the Bible anymore? And this would tell me that, like, the Bible will still be there.
Yes.
Because of the word of the Lord endures forever. Like, I think probably some of the, like, the physical things that it gives us help with here on earth probably.
Yeah, that's a really great point. The character of God that comes through in His Word. You know, this is eternal. And like you say, some of the things that maybe are particularly applicable to us in this life, sometimes that ends up becoming become our focus. But things like this make us to say, hey, maybe our focus even on the Word should be more on that eternal that He's made our new lives to be. Because that's going to stay in forever. And actually, one of my favorites is Malachi chapter 3. I just like the way he... I think something's going to show up a little bit later in our notes, but, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 24, He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. So yeah, it's still going to be there. That's not going away. And I like in Malachi. I know where Malachi is. I just got to get there. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Where do we leave off reading at?
Did you read 16?
Matthew 3:16. Yep.
And those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who feared the Lord, who esteemed His name.
Yeah, there's some books that are mentioned. Book of Life, the books get opened on the Day of Judgment, and there's this book of remembrance that's written. And I always get a picture in mind, you know, it's fun every once in a while, your family go back and look through the photo albums. Okay, there's a book of remembrance up there too. And if you think about it, every one of us, one of the points, I don't think it's quite come out yet tonight, but one of the points is we've been born again from that seed. From that word. Yes, Nikki.
Seeds are not
because it's been genetically modified. Right.
Or to make it better and the fruit is better and stuff, but it's actually not reproducible. Heirloom stuff is kind of harder to grow and doesn't always look as nice, but it's reproducible. Mmm. Like once you plant something, and
that's a really good one. Yeah. They, you know, they, and kind of makes you think a little bit sometimes the fake Christians. They can look really good. You know, Pharisees, guys, those guys look good. Inside, they're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Outside, whitewashed. I like the way Jesus calls it, for whitewashed tombs. But they wear whitewashed look, but inside, they, but that, you know, the fake stuff sometimes can look decent in the moment, and it's easier to grow and build, if you will. But it stops. When you've been born again by the imperishable seed, this continues to go and grow. I really like that example. That's yeah. You can't create apart from the original. You can't create that. So that's a great point. Excellent. What else you guys thinking, Nikki?
Sorry, I'm putting her on the spot.
She doesn't mind. That's true too. That's true. And matter of fact, Paul, when he writes the Corinthians, he kind of asks them, he says, do we need letters of commendation to you or from you? And he says, you are our letter, you know, written not on tablets of stone, but on these hearts. And so, yeah, the word of God lives on as us, as his creatures that have been born again from that word. So that's a good, great point. It's in that book of remembrance too. That way, I like it. What else, Matthew? You said you had a question, and then you said you had something else.
Well, I think it's interesting how it says it's glory like the flower of grass. Like any fleshly glory that you get in this lifetime is very fading.
Very fading.
It's just, it's there and gone. You know, you have your moment, and then everyone forgets you. But the glory of God, that's forever. No matter how much people try and deny it, like, it's going to happen. Like, they will be shown God's glory face to face, and you have to see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's inevitable.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, this world gets it so upside down. You know, I remember specifically talking to you and Caleb when Mr. Hopper died, you know, and just reminding you guys, like, the we can think about people like LeBron James, and they've got this glory in this life, you know, making however many millions of dollars a year, and, you know, amazing physical specimen, no doubt about that. But even LeBron, you know, he's 35 now. Starting to fade a little, even if you boys would argue with me that point with me a little bit. Okay? Starting to fade a little. It's going to fade a lot the next few years. It's just the way it works. But, you know, one of the points I was making with you guys, and is just to remind you guys, like, Mr. Hopper, nobody, I mean, even some people here in this congregation called him 50 grit. He was still a little rough around the edges. Had a little bit of perfecting to the Lord to finish up on him. But man, that guy's a champion. That guy, there is an eternal glory. And God on that final day is going to uphold him as one of his guys from his word that was born again. And that's going to last forever. And all this other stuff, gone. Kind of puts things in the perspective of what you're going to work for. You know, you're going to take your thousands of basketball shots a day, or are you going to, you know, memorize your thousands of scriptures? Take some spiritual shots. That's what matters. Good thoughts, guys. Guess we can... probably dive in, expound upon these a little. I think you guys covered a lot of it here. I do want to emphasize just a second, born again. You know, that phrase is so misused in the religious world. You know, sometimes people, you're a Christian. Are you a born again Christian? Like, there's a different, like, how can you be a Christian without being born again? Okay? And, you know, and even the religious world, they usually say that. They, you know, lots of times it's experiential. You know, what sort of testimony do you have that establishes your born-againness? There's only one testimony, guys, that matters about your born-againness. And that's the testimony of Jesus, His Word. You know, it's not whether or not you were born again by the preacher's word, or whether you were born again by, you know, or whatever voice you heard out there in the wilderness. Were you born again by this word? And people fight that. I'm going to pick on John for just a second. I heard you guys were had a Bible study with a group of young men, and you had ended up, you know, saying, "Man, I hope you guys get in so I can have the same kind of love towards you guys that I have towards my brethren, my true brethren, you know." And not trying to be, like, you were trying to be encouraging and help them along. Man, those guys took it wrong, got offended, because there are a lot of false stuff out there. People aren't Christians unless they've been born again. The verse before, in obedience to the truth. Born again by the word. It's actually shocking to me. Caleb Mills, Caleb Wilson, and Lorenzo, you guys went and had a brief conversation with Pastor Nate over here at Faith Chapel. And we're asking him some questions about immersion, particularly because of the same study that they, you know, the guy had wanted them to follow up on, so they went and asked. And I think it was worth your time for you guys to do that, because you know where he stands. But it was interesting, a couple things that Nate said, and Kevin mentioned one of them in Acts 2:38. You know, that you guys had brought that up somewhere. He said, "Well, we don't know if they were, but you know, were they ever? We don't even know if they were ever really baptized." Well, if you read a couple more verses, so then those who received his word were immersed, right? And then he said, "Well, we have lots of examples in the New Testament of people who were saved without being baptized." And Caleb, my understanding is Caleb Wilson said, "Well, can you give me one?" And he said, "Paul." Caleb said, "Well, didn't Ananias come and, you know, arise and be baptized?" And he says, "Yeah, well, that was a hygiene washing." And Caleb says, "But doesn't it say, and wash away your sins?" He's like, "No, it doesn't say that." Now, wait a second. Here's a guy that's a... there's two possibilities. Okay, either he's just flat out lying and deceiving intentionally, or he doesn't know the word, which is a possibility too. But either way, guys, nobody's going to be born again apart from what the word of God says. Whether that's from ignorance or whether that's from deception. And this is something, you know, it can be a little disheartening that we have to take such a strong stand on this, but the deception is out there and Satan's out there doing the fake seeds. Stuff looking good. There's no reproduction. None's gonna last. Guys, we can have all the programs in the world. And I think, hey, it's great when the scripture gets in and we can take it and help people in their lives with particular things. But you can have all the programs in the world, and if somebody isn't born again, no matter what you do to help them, doesn't help them. Boy, Jesus said, you're going to die in your sin. That's the reality of what we're looking at. So when the scripture talks about stuff like that, it's worth looking. Born again.
Yeah, I find it totally, utterly flabbergasting and amazing that somebody can spend their entire life devoted to Christ and then somebody shows them that they need to be immersed, they flat out won't do it. Like, they were digging their heels and resisted to a point. And that kind of throws up a lot of flames in my mind, because it's like, why would you do everything else in the scripture, but this one thing?
Exactly. Exactly.
You won't do it. And that tells me that it has some weight to it.
That's a great point, John. Because you wonder, like, yeah, why? There's a part of you that just naturally, on the, if you're just looking at things as they are naturally, there's no reason there should be such a fight about this.
Exactly. Yeah.
But the fact that there's such a fight about it tells you there's a supernatural war over this issue. And Satan's doing everything he can to blind people's minds. I've thought a lot about this, obviously, and I think there's a number of reasons people dig in their heels on that. I think some people want forgiveness of sins, but they don't want the sinner to die. I think some people, you know, we all know somebody that hasn't been immersed, that we don't want to admit didn't make it to heaven. You know, whatever the... But the reality of it is, there's only one who can cause to be born again. It's going to be done His way, in accordance with His will and His word. And He's not going to go contrary to His word that abides forever. And I love the way He closes this. This is the word that was preached to you. This is the word that was preached to you. People, you know, Peter didn't really mean what he said there on the day of Pentecost. If you would have words to say on the day of judgment, try that one out on the Lord. He meant exactly what he said, because it's inspired by God. Hey, this is the word that was preached to you. Yeah. Exactly. And oh, by the way, Pete, in case that's not enough, here's some keys for the kingdom too. Go ahead and open that baby up. But he didn't mean what he said. Come on. You know, anyways, I get a little cranked up about this. But we know what this is about, guys. And there's another place. Do you guys remember born again? Another place that shows up in the scripture? Unless one's born again, he can't even see the kingdom, right? Now that one's a little different. Literally, it's born from above. Okay? But we get the point. Unless you're born from above, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom. Exactly. Nicodemus didn't get it. How does that work? Which is a fair question, actually. Okay. Jesus says, "You, the teacher of Israel, don't understand these things." He pushed him a little. Okay. But unless you're born of water and spirit, you can't enter. Guys, those are Jesus' words. Well, being born of water, that just means when we got the newborn over here, that just means going through the birth canal and whatever what's it called? The amniotic fluid, or is that the right word? Whatever the water, that's the water. Born again, born of water in the spirit. That's part of being born again. Anyways, I don't need to harangue you guys about this. The point I do want to make is that God causes this new birth, guys. And when God causes this new birth, it is like there's potential for us to be eternal, because it comes from this eternal word. I think it's worth just talking about real quick, too. When you're born again, one of the things the Lord... I want to say the mechanics are important. Stealing Nikki's Morantic's example here. If it's not done according with the original, it's not legit. Okay? So we can put some terms on. Well, let's just say the mechanics are important. God didn't arbitrarily pick those things. Hey, we know, believe, repent, confess, be immersed, etc. God didn't arbitrarily pick those things. But the mechanics by themselves, like this seed is so incredibly powerful. Do you guys remember the different types of soil? What's the good soil? You know, the seed that's sown on the good soil, what's he say? This is one who hears the word with what? Anybody remember? A good and honest heart. People can go through the mechanics. The seed ain't going to work unless it's received with a good and honest heart. Exactly. Circumcision of the heart. But we have to be obedient from the heart, don't we? It can't be... Even... I got to get going here. But even the God's Not Dead movie, I did like a lot of that movie. But at the end, the guy who obviously isn't immersed, unless you count the sprinkling of the rain coming down on him. But you know, even the whole process... All of a sudden, you know, the guy's like, it's almost like, well, just in case, sort of thing. Did anybody else get that impression from that professor? Okay, here I am, the end of my life, I'm dying. Okay, yeah, I'm going to accept this, like, what if it is real, sort of thing. Like a just in case. Okay, that's not what the scripture is talking about. It's obedience from the heart. Okay? It's in faith. And it's got to be there, and the Lord knows, and none of us going to pull the wool over God's eyes. And so, you know, as we're sharing with people, we aren't just trying to get them to a dunk tank. We're trying to help them let that seed penetrate that heart. Pierce to the heart, right? And have them respond in accordance with that. It's super, super important. Power of God, guys, is unleashed in that. You know, born again of this imperishable seed. I think we've hit that quite a bit. You talk about circumcision of the heart. Only God can do that. That's a God doing the work. You know, I've had some studies recently, and people automatically assign immersion as a work. It's God doing the work. It's interesting to me, even just thinking about it at a very practical, like, human perspective even. Because does repentance require some effort on your part? Does confessing that Jesus is Lord require you to do something? Yes. But have you ever noticed, like, when you're immersed, like, that's passive voice or middle voice, actually, I think, in the Greek. Like, somebody else is actually doing it to you, even from a physical perspective. You're not allowed to go dunk yourself. Arise and be immersed, right? So, it's still, yeah, it requires something on our part, but you're not even the one dunking yourself. And the scripture is very adamant. God's the one doing the work. But people do fight about this because it's a spiritual sticking spot. The Word of God, though, super important. Without it, nobody can be born again. And I think that's why we do have to be careful. I think sometimes not to try to shortcut it by just getting somebody to do the mechanics. The Word of God has to perform its work in people's lives, making disciples. Jesus says, go, immerse people, and then make them disciples. Is that what he says? Let me say that again. Jesus said, go, immerse people, and make them disciples. Go make disciples and immerse them, right? You got to let that Word do its work. Word of God perform its work in us who believe. Can anybody think of another... How do I say this without giving it away totally, but a passage of scripture that combines the cleansing power of immersion with the cleansing work of God's Word? 1 Peter 3:21 is a great one it's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's a good one. I'm looking for something specifically about the Word. Acts 19 talks about the Spirit. Ephesians, we're in the right book. Not 6, not 4. Split the difference. 5, right? In Ephesians 5, what is that? Like the bride, right? Having cleansed her by the what? Help me out, somebody. Washing of water with the Word.
Oh, okay,
that's what you were trying to come on over there. Washing of water with the Word. But you see the joining together, the in that. You know, God's imperishable seed. You know, He brought us forth, the way James says it, by the word of truth. That sounds like a creative act. He brought us forth by the word of truth. Okay. We've been born again through that living and abiding word of God. You guys excited all about this new kid? Oh yeah. Do you think the Lord gets excited when He has a new kid?
The Lord told me this guy was here. He said, "Tell Rachel she's pregnant."
Well, I'm not going to go too far into that one.
Yeah,
I don't know how crabby she was, or anyways, I'm not. I'm teasing here, but a little bit. But you know, the in terms of spiritual children, guys, you think God gets a little excited? What's Kevin Simpson say? Lost and found. Wow. Party down, right? Lost and found, party down. Like, hey, this is the angels are rejoicing in heaven. This is a really big thing, guys. And so at party time, when somebody's born again, in this spiritual birth. You know, the spiritual, you guys hit it, it's eternal. The physical is temporal. And I wanna go back for a second. You hit on it, Super Dave. All flesh is like grass. In all its glory, like the flower of grass. Go back to you. I think most of us know this, but in case you don't, I'm looking around our room. I'm pretty sure we do. But in your Bibles, you got caps in here that tells you this is an Old Testament quotation. And if you got a cross reference, you can look back and you can see where that comes from. Anybody want to help me out there? I know where it's from. Where? Isaiah 40. So let's flip back to Isaiah 40. Just take a peek for a second here. Isaiah 40. Let's read verses 6 through 8. Nikki, is that your turn? Would you do all three of those, please? I really like how he says that. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. All the Lord's got to do is, and he says, surely the people are grass. Now sometimes we got some sort of air of invincibility. Ah, yeah, you know, the talkers and sometimes the way we live our life. We're just sure about, we make plans for tomorrow. You know, Matt and his traveling companion going to Lima. Hey, we're going, Lord willing, right? Because honestly, there's no guarantee of tomorrow for any of us. You know, sometimes you think about some in your own life, you probably think back and see some of the fine line between life and death in certain circumstances for you. When it's your day, when the Lord breathes on you, if you will, to use this. That's it. Caleb.
And that sounds a lot like James chapter 4. Mm-hmm. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away.
I remember.
Like that time where Noah had the spray bottle.
Yeah.
Here's Matthew.
You're a great guy, Matthew. Yeah, that thing fades fast, doesn't it? I remember an example my dad told one time for some reason, driving by a semi in the cold, and that exhaust coming out of the smokestack, you know, and there it is, and shoo, it's gone. It's our life. I read a book recently called When Breath Becomes Air. Interesting book. Actually, I found it. Guy wasn't a believer at all, but makes you think about death. When breath becomes air, well, there's more to it than that. When the Lord breathes on this, it's gone. When today's your day. That's this world, temporal. Temporal. But I was thinking, you know, so I kind of like that picture there from Isaiah. The Lord's breath, gone. But you know what's interesting? His word. His word, we call it all scripture is blank by God. Talia? What's that say, Talia? All scripture is blank by God? Did you have to memorize that for youth camp or not? You knew them all, so we must. All scripture is inspired by God, right? Does anybody know how King James says that instead of inspired? What'd you say, Katya? God breathed. All scripture is God breathed. Like, these words came about from God's breath. His breath doesn't blow this away. It blew this, if you will, into existence. This going to stand forever.
Because that's what I was kind of thinking about when you were talking about the weather events. It's when I hear, and I'm not saying it's God saying it, but there's a voice in my head that speaks the words sometimes too. And I mean, sometimes I can just take them down right away and just like stop my tracks, and I'm just like, I may have been powered up before, but I'm humbled right now.
Yeah, God's word will. If we're doing stuff that isn't right, it'll wither you. I mean, it'll humble you. It'll bring you down to your knees and make you. But then when you bring it into conformity with that, it brings you back to life too, doesn't it? And so I just want to encourage us guys to think, you know, Caleb, you talked about this glory of this glory is fading away. This lasts forever, guys, and this is the word which is preached to you. And so there was another passage I wanted to share with you, but if you want to read it, it's the end of Isaiah 59. I'll just let you guys read it on your own because we got to go. But it's from generation to generation. We want this thing. Like, there is one thing that can stand. There can be a book of remembrance as written. And I just want to think about it from a congregational standpoint too, not just from a family standpoint. Like, the next generation going to be true to God's word, and that get passed on, and that get passed on, and that get passed on. Nothing can stop God's word. What are we going to live for? What are we going to die for? What are we going to stand for? What are we going to talk about? What hill are we going to choose to die on? How about this one? Go ahead.
It's kind of like Nikki was saying with the seeds. You know, you can't make copies of copies of copies. So we got to teach the original.
Amen. Amen. Frank, close with a word of prayer. Boom it out from that back row, would you, buddy? Amen. Yeah, let's be doers of that word too. Your prayer made me think of that. Let's be doers of the word this week, huh? Guys, we got an awesome, imperishable, incorruptible seed. Let's live by it. Let's sow it a little too.